Welcome to the Load Management Dialogue Podcast presented by PLMA. Here you'll discover practitioner perspectives regarding flexible energy load management, including demand response and distributed energy resources. You're listening to PLMA's Load Management Dialogue.
Hi, good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you're calling in from. And thank you for joining us for another edition of PLMA's Load Management Dialogue. I'm Lori Duhan. I manage Baltimore Gas and Electric Company's demand-side management portfolio, which includes both our direct load control and behavioral demand response programs. In addition, I'm one of PLMA's award co-chairs. Today, we're lucky to have Marcus Jones from Energy Vermont and Morgan Costella of Dynamic Organics, and they'll discuss an application for flexible load management, which won one of PLMA's Thought Leader Awards. Marcus and Morgan, can you introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about the program?
Sure. So, it's Marcus Jones with Efficiency Vermont, and so I'm an energy consultant working with commercial and industrial customers throughout Vermont. And we started out this project with a proof of concept at the Brattleboro Retreat, where they had an ice storage system that Morgan Costella had seen and learned about. And we met together on a job meeting that the customer had called us to and saw the opportunity for utilizing that system in a different way than what it was currently being used to benefit the grid. And that's where we kind of started all of this, which eventually led to a flexible load management pilot with Green Mountain Power in a partnership with the three of us, our three organizations. That helped get this award for us. Let Morgan go on that one.
Yeah, hi, Morgan Costella with Dynamic Organics. We're a renewable energy development integration firm, and we've been working with Green Mountain Power for a while, discussing the opportunities of demand-side management in a more continuous application of that. And it so happened that this one of our customers, one of our clients, the Brattleboro Retreat Mental Health Hospital, had a available ice storage system, 3.2 megawatt hour capacity ice storage system that we were able to develop a new control and software package for, and then work with the utility, Green Mountain Power, to leverage the use of that asset to reduce peak demand times of the grid in terms of capacity and transmission peaks monthly and annually. And in 2018, that proof of concept showed good performance and viability. In the performance period, we used 21% more energy over the course of the 2 months, but we reduced the utility's cost to serve that load by more than 70%. And that spurred on a expansion of this work into this flexible load management pilot that we're currently helping Green Mountain Power and Efficiency Vermont with. And that is out to 10 different commercial industrial users, customers of Green Mountain Power, and looking at different types of resources as hidden storage capacity.
All right, thank you. I know that's part of the backstory, so I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, but while you're speaking of that, you can also tell us the time frame to get this from project to fruition.
Sure. The initial proof of concept, like we said, was last year, and Green Mountain Power operates in Vermont under an alternative regulation plan, which gives them the fantastic ability to pilot different types of innovations. And so under that auspice, we developed Green Mountain Power developed a pilot that could roll this out and basically develop a pass-through mechanism that we could provide customers with 70% of the savings, proven savings generated from counterfactual models of what their performance was during these peak hours. And that incentive, along with the outlines of that pilot, allowed us to expand that in a way to test the efficacy of that type of payment method. Timeline of the pilot is 18 months, and so we're through the summer performance season with some good results from that. And so, unlike probably a lot of other states where it may be more difficult to get to that pilot status, this took the approval from our Department of Public Service and Public Utility Commission, and we were ready to go on that in terms of testing with this small customer base.
Ice making is not really a new technology, so what was different about this application, and or how is it applied differently?
I'll get to answer that one in that the way the ice storage system was set up is just on a schedule to try and always maintain, make ice regardless of what was happening the next day. You know, if it was going to be 60 degrees the next day, the system would still go in and make ice. And it was just kind of set up as a block schedule to always try and maintain. And there was other inefficiencies in the control sequencing that didn't allow it to be fully optimized. And kind of what was done here was looking at using the ice only when it was necessary and not always maintaining it. And Morgan can speak a little bit more about their algorithms they were using for that.
Yeah, we just built out some optimization algorithms. So this was not a binary piece, but that we forecasted what the building loads. We do forecast what the building load is going to be the next day, and then make a commensurate amount of ice for that with a little buffer so that we're not wasting energy. It does take more energy to step down that temperature lower with the ice making at 19 degrees versus like a 45 or 55 degree output. And so we're cognizant of that. We tried to build out an optimization for the customer's benefit along with the utility's benefit. And through this pilot, this is kind of what the auspice is, to align that building efficiency, where we might just think about the non-coincident building peak, and the grid efficiency, where we'd think about what the grid's coincident peak looks like. So this software helped to do that for this customer to start.
Okay. I have a question that we received in advance from Howard Henward from Generac, and he asked if gas generators are used for any of the load response.
Not in this pilot. In the terms of, you know, EPA Tier 4 generators would be the only type of generator that would be allowed for emissions-wise for emergency demand demand response in this sense, but this pilot does not incorporate generators.
All right, thank you. This award was given because of a really interesting story of cooperation between Efficiency Vermont, Green Mountain Power, and Dynamic Organics. Where does that partnership lead to from here?
Yeah, we started into this with, we had worked with Dynamic Organics and worked with Green Mountain Power for quite some time developing these concepts around flexible load management. We had not worked too much with Efficiency Vermont before 2018, namely that Efficiency Vermont historically has looked at megawatt hour reduction in energy, the energy side of things, and reducing that as the paramount goal. And this had more to do with megawatts and the power side of things. And where this has started from and where it is aiming towards is a clarification about what efficiency, what the definition of that means in terms of what Efficiency Vermont's charter is, and looking past solely megawatt hour reductions, but also looking at these cost impacts of the grid along with the timing. And basically, just it's no longer just about how much energy is used, it's about when. If we get to a fully renewable grid, there'll be times where we want people to take off as much as they can when the sun is shining. So this is a step in the direction away from solely energy reduction.
Yeah, and I'll just add on to that. I mean, it's becoming clearer and clearer, as we saw at the PLMA conference, that the main thing isn't necessarily how much you use, as just when you use it. And that's really kind of driving a lot of the partnership that I see from the Efficiency Vermont side, is to how we can evolve the strategies that we need to get to a renewable energy future. And I see that as and collaboration is going to be key all the way through it, working together with all the partners.
And I know that in terms of, these are Green Mountain Power customers we're working with, and we've seen a large interest from these customers in relation to this type of work, not just because of the economic benefits, but also the idea of grid citizenship, and that they're actually helping in the broader piece to enable, you know, more renewables and reduce costs.
Lois Gordon also gave us a question prior to the call. She's from ASWB Engineering and asked, who will be the entity that helps building owners see the opportunities to have this become part of the load management?
Yeah, so Efficiency Vermont is well suited to step up to that role. We already have energy consultants in majority of the large CNI customers out in Vermont, and work with them closely on efficiency projects. This basically just takes our field of view and opens it up a little bit. So we're still obviously always looking for efficiency, looking to make a building as efficient as possible, and then look at how flexible loads in the buildings can be identified where it makes sense to continue partnership with Green Mountain Power or the other utilities to electrify in a beneficial way to reduce fossil fuels and to electrify without adding to any of the peaks. And that's where the flexible load management piece comes in. And so the energy consultants now are starting to look at how we can shift some loads across their with the customers in a way that works and doesn't affect their operations or comfort drastically at all. So really Efficiency Vermont gets to help in that area very well.
Yeah, and I'd love to just stress that the flexible piece coupled with efficiency kind of is a 1+1=3 situation where you actually can help to show additional savings and reward that you couldn't show alone with a standard efficiency measure, but combining that efficiency measure with some better controls and flexibility actually can provide better returns on that type of transformation project.
I know Efficiency Vermont's goal is to help customers reduce energy usage. In the case of making and using ice, doesn't that really use more energy?
Yeah, it definitely does, as Morgan pointed out in the analysis that they did. It does use more energy, but there again, it's using it at the correct time versus using more energy during the peak time periods. You know, the ice storage, the chiller uses more energy to make ice when the grid is not constrained, whereas it would use a fair amount more energy during the time, just power during the time period of when the peaks are occurring. So really trying to utilize when it's using power at the right time is the better benefit for the whole of Vermont and all of the ratepayers and utilities. So that's kind of where we're shifting towards.
Okay, and we had another question from Leland Keller from Fort Collins Utilities. And Leland's interested in learning about the platform or platforms used to coordinate flexible loads and energy storage, and if there's one or more cost-effective solutions.
Well, Dynamic Organics, our ultimate goal here is to build that type of platform that would allow this orchestration of these loads, including electrochemical storage assets. And this current pilot is helping to show proof points of where that would be. And we know that there's historically a lot of different utilities work with different distributed energy resource management systems, DERMS, and there's other types of, or there are different types of topologies and telemetry and standards that are out there available for these kind of things. We're looking to continue this work with these utilities, Efficiency Vermont, Green Mountain Power, to try to develop an overall architecture and standard that allows us to expand this in a scalable and standardized fashion. If there's one or more cost-effective solutions for this, there are quite a few DERMS providers out there. I know that Spray is even out there in Fort Collins, where Leland's from, and I'm sure she's heard of them. But the overall, there seems to be some lacking places in the marketplace for that kind of top node platform that does this in a seamless way. It seems like some utilities around the country are finding their individualized solutions, and there's certainly some large players working in this space. We're working far more in a bottom-up approach here in Vermont, at least from our company's standpoint on this. But our ultimate platform orchestration piece, I should say, we have a platform that we employ in this pilot that provides customers with access to information and their energy and power use data, along with forecast grid conditions and called peak events, peak event windows, so that there's a feedback loop. And ultimately, that's what we would see any platform offering in the future, is a way to get customers information and tie that to an incentive basis. And that's where flexibility can come from. But Marcus, do you have something to add to that?
No, I think you covered it pretty well.
All right, and we also had a question from Ethan Goldman from Recurve, and he asked, how do you measure the impacts of flexible load so that implementers, customers, and the utility can agree on the results?
Yeah, so we have a data analytics group within EVT or in our parent organization, the EIC, that has really been able to step up to the challenge of looking. You know, we've over the years created a lot of good analysis for efficiency savings, and this was a new challenge that they had to step up to, and did a great job looking at, I will never remember the full name, but ARIMA, and there is the name of the modeling software that they use. But looking at all of these different variables, whether it's weather and all their past loads, so they're able to kind of have a rolling model for the last 30 days that builds out what the customer would have done versus what they actually did to come up with a pretty good baseline that we're about to roll out to customers starting at next month or the end of this month. They'll get their first reports with how they performed in June. It was a 3-month delay, but so we've been able to do that in-house. That's now automated and scalable to future iterations of pilots if that's the way that Green Mountain Power decides to go.
Yeah, Efficiency Vermont has provided some amazing EM&V work on this, and these time series models have proved more effective than I thought they could. I thought it would be even more difficult to show some of this, but they are pretty valid. We've tested that back against 2 years of data, and it shows very promising results for the efficacy and accuracy of that modeling.
And I think we could kind of elaborate on some of those if we wanted. Morgan is just kind of explaining maybe where it's gone with the pilot from here, that this collaboration really is blossomed into the, where we've reached out to the first Brattleboro retreat is part of the pilot, but then 9 other customers, and of all across the board, from large industrial down to small commercial businesses and college campuses, where it's proved very fruitful this year to show the cost benefit by giving customers information and letting in a slight incentive, and they alter their behaviors to match.
Yeah, for example, we have a customer who compresses, uses a large compressor load. They have storage capabilities when they're making that, so they have been able to consistently reduce a megawatt to a megawatt and a half for us for 5 hours during all called events for the last few months, and that is an incredible cost-effective basis for storage compared to buying a similar electrochemical battery. We have another group that is not fully hooked up yet, but we'll be utilizing a wastewater treatment plant's anaerobic digester with a non-fixed headspace. So we'll make extra gas during the day while the sun is shining and have them pull from the grid while it's more renewable. And as the sun goes away, we'll start to use the gas at full output from their combined heat and power unit and be able to use a biological process to help to levelize a curve and reduce the ramp rates in the afternoon. We have other customers who have ice skating rinks. We have customers with commercial buildings with HVAC and kind of thermal storage pieces. So it's showing a whole array of different commercial industrial applications. And I see we have a question that says, any plans to expand? And yes, I can't speak for Green Mountain Power myself, but the idea here is that when we prove out these the cost efficacy of this and the planning pieces, we'll begin planning for expansion of this pilot or program into an actual tariff expansion and or expansion of the pilot before tariff, so that we have the ability to provide this type of incentive to additional customers within GMP territory. And then hopefully that gets understood by, there's other utilities in Vermont as well, and hopefully that same kind of thing, working with Efficiency Vermont, who sees most all of those other utilities, be able to provide this type of knowledge base and programmatic implementation across other utilities as well.
And I'll add too that there's been, with some of the customers, it's really interesting to see how they're able to adjust loads throughout the day without really having any effect or any noticeable effect on occupant comfort within reason. one of the college campuses is able to raise and lower some of their set points based on the information they received from Dynamic Organics and have not received any complaints. So everyone's happy, but what we're seeing is that at one point you kind of believed that a building's load shape was consistent and not able to be changed based on what was happening in the building. And at least for office spaces and college campuses, it's able to be adjusted and shaped within reason to meet what the grid might be needing. So there's a lot of good learning so far, and we hope to keep learning that and possibly getting it out into a couple other customer sites just to prove that it wasn't just a one-off project.
Yeah, that's an example of direct load control that's using an API that we create on our platform and send out to that campus. And then we have examples of kind of manual curtailable in this and direct load control and executable load control, different levels of demand response that we're working with within this first pilot.
I see a message that came in about what the typical incentive for these kind of projects are. And right now it's a very customized incentive just because it was a pilot. So trying to help move these customers forward, Efficiency Vermont helped with the cost of submetering. So majority, not every customer of the 10, but the majority of them have e-gauge submetering installed and pulling that data out so we can see how they're doing in real time. And then in some cases, we helped with the cost of building management system upgrades and control programming specific to the flexible sequences. So it's a cost share with the customers, so they are paying in. But that's, you know, this is a pilot, so that's just kind of the way it's worked here. We are working to see how we can develop a program to support flexibility going forward in the future. So there's no set incentives at this point.
Well, the incentive for customers in this happens to do with the RNS monthly peak is credited at 70% of what the value is to the utility. And so that's a $6.60 per kW savings on what they reduced during that monthly peak. And then for the annual peak, 70% of the FCM payment, which in New England this year is going to be $58 or so. So there's a significant value, $58 per kilowatt for the annual peak. This is where the driver on this too is there's an economic reality that these customers can, you know, save money for their business operations. One of our customers is actually even discussing how they pass through this to their customers below them in terms of contracts in the future, where they can incent customers to be more flexible on the delivery of certain things in exchange for a pass-through benefit from that, from Greenbound Power to this customer who's participating in the flexibility, who then has subcontracts with their customers and who can also benefit in that sense. And just background to some of the question that Ethan Goldman posed in terms of ARIMA models or Saramax models, this is all just time series, you know, exogenous regression analysis. And so ARIMA, A-R-I-M-A, is the type of model there.
All right. I just want to thank everybody, and particularly I want to thank Marcus and Morgan for talking to us about their program. And thank you once again for joining PLMA's Load Management Dialogue.
You've been listening to the Load Management Dialogue podcast presented by PLMA. To learn about upcoming Load Management Dialogues and an archive of past recordings, visit peakload.org or your favorite podcast platform. This concludes this edition of PLMA Load Management Dialogue.